I remember Casey came and brought his albino python snake. And he's like, I'm gonna play a joke on whoever comes out. I'm gonna put the snake underneath the couch. And all of a sudden, this giant python goes out from underneath the couch. And she screams, oh my God, what the hell? Are you wild, man? You crazy.
You're listening to Smooth Era, a show about the legends of 90s R&B. And in each episode, we'll dive deep into the stories about their lives, their struggles, and what it was like being part of that smooth era when it was at the height of its popularity. I'm your host, PJ Butta, and in the mid-90s, I worked at legendary radio station 92.3 The Beat in Los Angeles. And every summer, we throw the city's most anticipated event, The Beat Summer Jam, which was an all-day extravaganza featuring a lineup of around 20 top hip-hop and R&B acts. And the 98 Summer Jam is one that people will always bring up. Now, that lineup was stacked. We had A Tribe Called Quest, Missy Elliott, Nate Dogg and Warren G, Montel Jordan, and John B. And John B had just released They Don't Know and Are You Still Down? So he's one of the artists people were really waiting to see. So when it's time for John to hit the stage, he comes out looking all sexy for the ladies. His vocals are smooth and soulful. And before he can get into his second song, a massive gang fight breaks out and it spills onto the stage. Unfortunately, fans didn't get to hear him sing his hits from his album Cool Relax, which you would think everyone would be cool and relaxed during a John B show, but not that day. In this episode, we're talking to iconic R&B singer and producer, John B.
This is John B. I'm from Pasadena.
And he was born in 1974. And in the late 70s, John B's family moved from Rhode Island to California because his dad landed a job at a college in Los Angeles, Cal State LA. And John B's dad was a music professor, which meant there were a lot of instruments lying around the house.
My father really brought us up in a musical environment. I mean, my mother's a pianist, my father's a violinist, my sister's a violinist, my brother's a cellist. Total musical family. I was going to operas, I was going to recitals, all kinds of classical stuff.
But the first sounds to come out of John's mouth wasn't a big, oh, like an opera singer.
I think the first musical sound I ever made with my mouth was the sound of the disco drums, the going at like probably 4 or 5 years old. And besides that, I was beating the back of the leather seats in the car, a little GLC Mazda that we had. I think I broke the whole seat out because I was playing the back of the seat so hard, I would be like making my beats.
So it was obvious John was inspired by the sounds of disco and R&B. And even though both of his parents taught music, he didn't want to learn how to read music. Instead, John B. wanted to do his own thing musically, and he learned how to play by ear.
I was sort of the black sheep of the family, you know? My mother's a piano teacher, so even just as a little boy, just watching the kids come in and play piano, obviously I was curious, but I didn't want to look at those papers and read that information. I wanted to just play.
And that's exactly what he did. He just started playing. And the first thing he learned was a fifth chord, which is basically playing two keys, 5 notes apart.
It was my thumb and my pinky finger, and I would just kind of do this fifth chord, and I would play like that 1-5 thing all over the keyboard. And it started sounding like music after a while.
John B. liked the piano and was getting better at it, but what he really wanted was a keyboard. And his parents finally bought him one.
A little Casio guy.
I'm going to have my Casio keyboard play a funky beat using its auto rhythm section.
That was the genesis of it all. You know, hearing the sounds come out of the keyboard and saying, oh, that's cool. That makes that sound. Like, wow, if I change the sound, that makes that sound. Ooh, you know, and it started making me feel a certain way.
The music on the radio started making him feel a certain way too. And he started soaking up the sounds of the 70s and the 80s.
I was really into disco, really into rock, growing up to like Rod Stewart. Earth, Wind, and Fire. Cool and the Gang. That's sort of like the ingredients in my music. You know, that's why I think the way that I do is because I grew up in that age where those sounds are being made, you know?
So while John B was experimenting with chord combinations, melodies, and vocals on his little Casio keyboard, he had disco, rock, and R&B on his mind. And he always loved the idea of being in a group. So as he got more and more into making his own beats, He tried to include his friends.
You know, your friends would come over, they want to play with action figures and do normal kid stuff. And he'd say, oh, look at my synthesizer, you know, look at my keyboard. They'd be like, what is that?
By the time he was 15, John B. had amassed enough equipment to build out a tiny home studio. And in that studio, he was like a mad scientist tinkering with his music. But he needed to test it out in the real world, too. So he enters talent shows. And in L.A., the best talent shows didn't happen in high school auditoriums. They happened at legit venues.
Down at the Roxy, they had little nights where local talent could perform.
They packed the Roxy over three Sundays to compete for the perfect prize, $2,500 in cash.
And so I would perform down there, and I had a little singing group that was a three-man singing group that I formed.
The group was called Unity, and it was three guys, John B. and his high school buddies, Robert and Chacho.
Chacho was Filipino, and Robert was black, but he was from France. He hardly had an accent at all, but that little Paris swag, we definitely used that to our advantage. We'd harmonize for the girls and all that around, you know, our high school. I think when we sang Can You Stand the Rain at lunchtime, we could get a crowd of people surrounding us.
And the Unity guys also felt like they had something pretty unique being a multiracial R&B group until a different multiracial R&B group came on the scene.
And then all of a sudden, Color Me Bad came out. And we looked at that. We were like, it was a multiracial group. I was sitting there like, oh man, they did it before us. You know what I mean? I was so mad.
And even though John was mad at Color Me Bad, their success gave John B. confidence. The confidence that his multiracial R&B group could make it if they kept working on their music. And Unity was gaining traction in LA at the time. So John B.'s dad introduced them to a big time producer named Joey Gallo.
Joey Gallo produced all the Shalamar hits. This short Italian man that worked at Cal State LA, where my dad taught out, that's how we met.
Joey Gallo had a high-end studio in his garage equipped with fancy microphones, preamps, and a reel-to-reel recorder.
We had a 16-track reel-to-reel recorder. My gosh, so we were just so hyped to record our songs properly, you know.
But the hype didn't last, at least with the other members of Unity.
Everyone wasn't equally taking it seriously. Some of us wanted to party. Some of us wanted to have girlfriends. I was just strictly into the music. I had a girlfriend, but it didn't distract me from what I had to do, which was if I'm producing somebody or working with somebody every day, I mean, that's what I'm doing, you know?
But John was focused on getting better with his music.
I was the guy who was the sort of the professor staying inside the lab and really perfecting everything.
And he wasn't just producing his own music at this time. He was also producing rappers, singers, and girl groups around town. And he was starting to make a name for himself while in high school.
So every kid in the neighborhood now that wants to make a demo knows, like, go to Jonathan Buck's house. You know, he's got equipment there and a microphone and like a keyboard and a drum machine.
So John is getting good, and Unity manages to get their demo to Sony Records, who then calls them in for an audition. So the guys audition, and maybe Sony can sense that Robert and Chacho aren't into it as much as John, because after the audition, they want to sign John B. as a solo act.
And I was like, oh, well, I can't sign. So I was too loyal to them at that point.
But you know what the effed up part is? Not too long after, Unity breaks up. Yeah, and all the guys go their separate ways. But that offer from Sony is still on John B's mind. So he produces his own demo and goes back to Sony to see if their solo offer still stands. And this time, John B meets with Randy Jackson.
It's definitely a no for me, dog.
Yes, that Randy Jackson.
And he's like, all right, then, you know, we'll listen to your music and it's cool and everything, but I don't really think you're more of a producer, but I pass. So I was just like, oh man, this sucks.
Now, I don't know if John got PTSD from watching Randy pass on singers on American Idol, but I do know he regretted turning down that solo deal. Man, especially since his dad told him,
you better get a record contract or you're going to college. Those were the precise words I remember that he said.
But John's plan wasn't college. It was music. So he sent his demo to other labels.
I ended up taking my music, same demo, to a hole-in-the-wall label that was called Yab Yum. I heard at the time that it has some sort of affiliation with Babyface.
Yab Yum was a new label founded by Tracy Edmonds, who at the time was married to Babyface. Now, Babyface is a major R&B artist and producer who had hits like Whip Appeal. You got that whip appeal, so whip it on me. And wrote and produced hits for artists like Bobby Brown and Whitney Houston. John was hoping to work with Babyface, especially after hearing what he did on Toni Braxton's debut album.
When Toni Braxton's album dropped, I was just like, oh my God, this is so inspiring.
So John decides to drop his demo off at Yab Yum Records and ditches school. Well, sort of.
I was 18. I wrote myself legally out of school. I was like, I will excuse myself today to go solicit my music downtown because this is what I consider professional business.
John drops off his demo at Yab Yum and then goes to a meeting at Motown Records. And during this meeting, Babyface calls up the guy he's meeting with and asks if there's a John B there because he wants to meet him. So John's like, peace out, Motown. And he rushes over to Yab Yum's office, hoping to be signed as a producer.
If I could be one of his producers, somebody that knows the style, knows the sound selection, knows the taste that's involved with producing that type of R&B, maybe he would put me on like Dallas Austin or Daryl Simmons.
But after Babyface listened to John B's demo, he had a different plan.
He loved what he heard and he asked if I was the one singing, and I said, yeah. And he's like, why aren't you trying to get a recording deal as an artist? And I was like, I've really thought that way. I've always been a part of groups and I've always been the producer. And he's like, oh, okay, well, you should really think about being an artist because I'd sign you as an artist. And I was just like, what? That's just like, you're the guy, man. I just try to sound like you, man. You know what I mean? I mean, this is a guy who signed Outkast and put out TLC and shit like that.
So it didn't take much convincing from Babyface for John to be an artist and agreed to sign with the Yab Yum.
I had been offered other deals and it didn't make sense. So by the time I had met Babyface, it just felt like, okay, I met my match.
John B finally gets a record deal. So what's next? Tell you what, it's not college. I'll have more after the break.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
And we're back. So John B doesn't have to go to college because he just signed with Yab Yum, a new label run by Tracy Edmonds and her husband at the time, Babyface. He even got to hit the studio with Babyface.
There was a lot of influence from Babyface on that first album.
Babyface had just dropped his own album, For the Cool in You, and John B was getting inspired by those tracks.
So I was like all into like songs like Saturday. For the Cool in You. This is for the cool in you. And Never Keeping Secrets. So I'm never keeping secrets
that I'm never telling. The first song they recorded for Bonafide was Someone to Love. And Babyface actually invited John B to live at his house while they were recording that song.
every day I come downstairs, it'd be like some major thing going on. Like Madonna would be like, hey, how you doing? I'm like, hi, I'm a huge fan. Like,
now, this is during the time Babyface and Madonna are recording Take a Bow, which ended up being a number one hit. So Babyface is working with Madonna in the morning, and later in the day, he's working with John B, recording Someone to Love. And John B remembers the first time Babyface sang him the first verse of Someone to Love.
He was singing it to me, how it went. So I went in there and I tried to sing it just how he sang it to me. And in the beginning, I started to try to make it a little fuller voice, like, don't even like to think about it. He's like, no, take all that bass out your voice. I'm like, no, I need you to sing this really sweet and really sensitive.
Don't even like to think about it. I don't know what I'd do without it. I only know I live and I breathe for your love. Baby, you can't.
After we got done with the first verse, he goes, so let me sing the second verse. And I was like, okay, cool.
I thought I'd never love again. I thought my life was over. And I didn't want to face or even see another day.
John B figured Babyface would sing the second verse to demo how it's done. Then John would go in and sing it like him. But after recording the second verse, Babyface comes out of the booth and says,
yeah, I think we're just going to keep it like that. And I was like, this is a duet? He's like, yeah. And I was like, oh my God. Like, literally, like, what? You're going to sing on my first song with me? It was like getting the okay from God. Like, okay, my son, you can come into heaven now.
Speaking of Someone to Love, how about that hook? So Someone to Love ended up being John B's first single, and it was the first song he recorded for Bonafide, his debut album. But the song was actually first released on the soundtrack for the movie Bad Boys.
Martin Lawrence, Will Smith, Bad Boys, what you gonna do?
Bad Boys got filmed. It was a movie that needed a hot soundtrack, and Babyface like proposed the song and they loved it.
Someone to Love was a big hit. The song peaked at number 10 on the Hot 100s, and Jay Leno invited John B and Babyface on his show to perform it.
Performing a song from his debut album, Bonafide, please welcome John B with special guest, Babyface.
Bonafide came out on May 23rd, 1995. Someone to Love was a big hit, as well as Pretty Girl, and the album made the Billboard 200 charts. John was really happy about that and how the album cover came out.
I had my hands up in the air on the album cover because that's how I felt. Like, oh, this is me. Like, I'm here, baby. I never really wanted to be the focal point of the music. I always wanted the music to be the focal point. So it was more like me coming into my own and say, okay, I am the focal point. This is me, John B. I'm just being myself. This is it.
Once Bonafide dropped, John B. started touring, and he really loved the energy on tour.
It was wow. Oh, wow.
Show some love for the smooth vibes of John B.
And that wow moment for him is how the crowd knew all the words to his songs when he performed them.
When you see them singing the song back to you, that's been the same drug that's kept me sort of addicted to this game this whole time. Like, there's another family out there that I have to feed.
Find out how John B manages to keep feeding his family of fans after the break.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
And we're back. It's late 1995, early 96. John B. released a successful debut album, and now he's starting to think about his second album, Cool Relax. Now, John B. leaned heavily on Babyface, Tracy Edmonds, and their team at Yab Yum for creative direction while writing Bonafide, but he wants this next album to be a bit more John B.
Cool Relax. It's like, let me cool relax and do me. Buzz the hair off, get the fade, press play, let's go. I'm used to being in the studio. Light the blunt, let's go.
Well, the blunt was lit, and for Cool Relax, John B. was high on groups that were blending the sound of R&B with hip-hop.
Groups like Mint Condition, Low Key, Rude Boys. On a more hip-hop level, I think it was like artists like Domino, who kind of had a singy, kind of rappy kind of energy. I love being in that element rather than being so clean and so perfect.
And for that hip-hop element, John hooked up with Ali, Shahid, Muhammad, and Q-Tip from A Tribe Called Quest to work on the title track for a sophomore album.
Can I kick it?
And this was at the time when Tribe was recording Beats, Rhymes, and Life.
And so I was like listening to Beats, Rhymes, and Life while we make Cool Relax, the song. Just watching like Beats, Rhymes, and Life get made as a fan of hip hop, like to live in Ali Shaheed's studio for a couple weeks and be like, oh my God.
For Cool Relax, John B. told Ali Shaheed that he was envisioning something like Maxwell's Ascension.
Had this really groovy Sade, super slick, sophisticated feel to it. So I was like, man, I want to do something like that. So yeah, he got it right away and he played that track for me. And I was like, that's it, man.
John was hoping to have Q-Tip rap on one of his tracks. Unfortunately, that didn't happen. But Q-Tip did give him props on another Cool Relax track.
I played him I Do What You Say Boo, and he's like, man, that's dope. Like, that's legit. To give me that dap was like, wow, okay.
It really meant a lot to John B because he actually wrote and produced the song I Do What You Say Boo. Okay, so he gets A Tribe Called Quest to work on his album. Now, who else does he want to get?
For me, Casey and JoJo, that's heavyweight influence in the 90s. I really wanted to have them be on the album.
So John B reaches out to Casey and JoJo of Jodeci.
I was like, man, y'all gotta come to the studio. I have this song I would love you to sing backgrounds on.
And Casey and JoJo agree, but they didn't come alone.
I remember Casey came and brought his albino python snake, a pet python snake he brought everywhere with him. And he's like, I'm gonna play a joke on whoever comes out. I'm gonna put the snake underneath the couch.
So Casey puts his giant pet python under the couch. And Tracy Edmonds comes into the studio and sits down on the couch.
And all of a sudden, this giant python comes out from underneath the couch. And she screams, oh my God, what the hell? He's like, no, don't worry, that's my baby or whatever. He's like, you wild, man, he crazy.
The snake doesn't appear on the album, but Casey and JoJo appear on two songs, singing background vocals on Can We Get Down? And Pride and Joy. Now, another one of John B's biggest hits on Cool Relax is They Don't Know.
They Don't Know is an example of me going into a new production situation with total strangers in Atlanta, Tim Kelly and Bob Robinson. They were producing everyone at the time that I loved.
They Don't Know was the biggest song on Cool Relax, peaking at number 7 on the Hot 100. Tim and Bob had something to do with that, but you also have to give credit to John and his broken heart.
During the time I had just broken up from my shorty who I was basically trying to marry at the time, you know, having all this emotion that I was going through, I wanted to sort of show that reality in what I was doing musically.
And Tim and Bob really understood what John B was going for.
When they played me the track, but They Don't Know, I was just like, oh my God, you're killing me right now. Like, this is speaking to my heart. And it was a gorgeous song and very true to heart. I don't think I've ever been more precise in terms of, like, you know, there's a sentiment I'm trying to say, which is basically, don't listen to what they have to say. Come to me and let's have our relationship together. Let's have this be you and I. So they don't know about us.
So John B's now worked with Babyface, A Tribe Called Quest, Casey and JoJo, and Tim and Bob. But maybe the biggest artist he gets to collaborate with on this album is one of the greatest rappers of all time, Tupac Shakur. And it all starts with John B getting an invite to Tupac's music video shoot.
My good friend Bezo, Brian Perry, calls me up and is like, yo, I'm down here at the How Do You Want It video shoot. You need to get down here. Somebody wants to talk to you. And he puts Tupac on the phone. I'm like, what's up, man? He's like,
yo, what's up, man? You'll come down on my video shoot, man.
So what does John do? Of course he heads down to the video shoot for How Do You Want It.
And I'm greeted by Eric B. from Eric B. and Rakim.
Eric B., make him clap to this.
He's like, come on, pull over, John B. I'm like, what's up, man? Oh, my God. I get out of the car like, oh, man, you kidding me? Like, if I died and gone to heaven right now, like, seriously? I go in there with Eric B. and Bezo. Man, we walked through, like, I swear, it was like a military compound, bro.
John B. finally makes it in and meets Tupac.
He's cool as hell, man. He's just like vibing. You need something to drink, you need something to smoke, whatever. Casey and JoJo are there, and I'm sitting there like, my gosh.
Then John B asks Tupac if he can play some beats for him, and Tupac's down.
Right away, Tupac starts freestyling over my beat. I'm in awe, you know, and Casey and JoJo are sitting there like, okay, he feeling you, JB. Like, all right, bro, like, y'all about to make a hit. I was just like, my God, bro, why isn't this being recorded right now? Like, this is crazy.
So Tupac invites John B to his studio to collaborate, and John remembers pulling up to the studio and seeing Tupac's car out front.
He had a burgundy Rolls Royce.
And while John is looking at Tupac's car, he looks inside. And what does he see?
My CD, I shit you not, was sitting there, bona fide, was sitting on the leather right there in the front seat. So I'm like walking in like, damn, like he must have just been bumping my shit or something. But that's dope, right?
So John B walks into the studio feeling good, and Tupac greets him and plays him a track.
The first track that he played for me was Are You Still Down?
John B.
And I was just like, that's it, bro. We don't need to listen to nothing else.
So they start vibing and working on lyrics together.
I was like, man, I feel like this song kind of feel like lonely. It's sexy, but it's like lonely. He's like, are you still down? I was like, are you still down? Like, yeah.
What I found is you still care. You have feelings and they still there. Baby girl, keep it real here. Are you still down?
So then they start talking about their exes. And that conversation became the inspiration for the creation of the song, Are You Still Down? John B talked about how well they worked together in the studio and how Tupac had a pretty clear idea of what he wanted the song to be like.
I keep saying, and it's all right, baby, different shit. He's like, nah, that ain't it. No, it goes, girl, it's all right, baby. You know, he's showing me melodically how to do the song. He was very, very adamant about like, hey, man, I need you to make me feel that shit. That's what I remember about Tupac is just him not holding back his passion for whatever he's found me. He'd take his shirt off and be like, you know what I mean? And bare chest in the studio, be like, what?
John B knew that this song with Tupac was going to be big.
When we got done and we were listening back, I was just like, this feels so dope. He was just so connected to me. in the sense of like, we're gonna be homies in this moment, but it's past that, bro. Like, we're gonna be homies for life.
But some folks thought that working with Tupac was a bad look.
I do remember that everyone was sort of like shocked that I was working with Tupac and that he made such an infamous name for himself. So there was like two sides to Tupac. There was this like criminal side that people were judging him on, you know, and there was the artistic side, like this guy's a prolific person. So it was like, which one do you want to look at?
Shortly after they recorded Are You Still Down, Tupac was shot and killed.
Rap star Tupac Shakur died last night after a brief life in a rough business. He was 25.
John was devastated. He didn't know what would happen to the song they recorded. He figured it might be dead too.
Several weeks after he had passed, the song got leaked. And then it became this thing that people were talking about.
And the leak made John uneasy because he didn't want to put out the song unless he had permission from Tupac's estate, which was his mom, Afeni Shakur.
But Afeni was like, no, my son wanted that song to happen. I want to see that song out. You have the clearance.
Are You Still Down came out on Cool Relax in 1997. The song peaked at number 29 on the Hot 100s and number 2 on the R&B charts. But a success was bittersweet for John B.
I didn't really want to celebrate the record because he wasn't there with me.
But John would celebrate the success of his sophomore release, Cool Relax, which went on to hit 33 on the Billboard 200 and number 4 on the top R&B hip-hop charts.
Hey, I'm Rachel, and you're back on the planet. All right, fellas, break out those breath mints, the chewing gum, find yourself a lady to slow dance to. We're going to sway to the sweet sounds of John B.
I was really into the idea of being a producer, artist, so put me in the studio with New Edition, put me in the studio with Toni Braxton, put me in the studio with Color Me Bad, with Tribe Called Quest, with Tupac, with Snoop Dogg, put me in the studio with Jay-Z.
John worked with all those artists, by the way.
And the beautiful thing was they all rapped on my beats.
John B's impact on 90s R&B went beyond just great tracks. His song spoke about love and life in a way that was both real and relatable. He broke through boundaries, showing that talent and passion for R&B knew no color lines. His collaborations, especially with icons like Tupac, showcased his versatility and wide appeal. He was a crucial part of a decade that saw R&B evolving, adding his own flavor and stirring in his own spice to help shape its sound. The fact that John B. is still making music today is a testament to the enduring power of R&B and John B. And he's still doing shows. So go see him when he's in your town, and hopefully no fights will break out. Smooth Era is a Stupid Fly production hosted by me, PJ Butta. This episode was written and edited by Chris Olin at Angelino Audio and Mia Sullivan at Places Media. Music by The Math Club, and the mix engineer is Sean Berman. Shout out to Ray David for the dope artwork, and I can't forget the executive producer who doesn't own an albino python, but there might be one in his pants, DJ Cheap Shot. Be sure to follow us on Instagram at Smooth Era Podcast. Also hit the subscribe button, and please leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. Just to let you know, I like 5 stars. I'll talk to you next time on the next episode of Smooth Era. Yeah.